What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Self-Helpless. I'm Kelsey Cook, and today I am joined by such a fantastic guest. He's a dear friend of mine, he's an incredible comic, and he has a new special out on YouTube called Daddy. I have on Jeremiah Watkins. We talk all about him becoming a dad, we talk about how he relieves stress when he's on the road, we talk about changes in his relationship once he had kids and navigating that. He gives such great advice for anybody with kids, and I loved his perspective. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. You can go watch his special on YouTube, and you can also watch Stand Up on the Spot, which is his web series. I've actually done it, so my episode is on YouTube as well. You can follow him on all social media at Jeremiah Stand Up, and his website is jeremiahwatkins.com for tour dates. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview with him. This episode is coming out at the end of May, so I will be headlining Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club in Vegas June 1st through the 4th. I will be in Burbank at Flappers at the end of this month as well in June, and then so many other dates coming up. I'm going to be in Davenport, Iowa. I'm going to be in Phoenix. I'm going to be in Dania Beach, Florida. Just tons coming up. So go to kelseycook.com, get those tour date tickets. And also, please make sure you watch my special, The Hustler, which is also on YouTube. So there's so many specials out on YouTube right now, you guys. Like, a ton all came out at once. So if you're looking to binge some stand-up, YouTube is the spot. And I think that is it for announcements. So without further ado, here is the interview with Jeremiah Watkins. And I will talk to you guys at the end of the interview as well. All right. You guys know him from the intro. Please welcome Jeremiah Watkins. Yay.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I am good. Thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You know, we were talking before we started recording about if we've had you on Self-Helpless before, and I just realized that we have had you on Wrists of Fury. So maybe Yes. That's what I have been thinking of.
And if you recall from that, I am a competitive guy that was not ready to lose like that.
It was very fun for me because I only know you as just a complete sweetheart. And so it's fun when I get people on the table and I see any other side of them. And even when you're competitive, you're still a sweetheart. But like, I could tell that you definitely wanted to win.
Oh, no, no. There were parts of me that I was like, Trevor Wallace, get it together. Like, okay. Come on, what's happening here?
I know.
Oh, that was... He just blindfolded. So that hurt extra bad. Like, I was stoked that we got points on the board when you're blindfolded, but it's still, you beat us blindfolded.
God, I forgot about that. That was a highlight.
I didn't, Kelsey. I didn't.
Wake up in a cold sweat every day at 2 a.m.
I gotta figure out a way how to beat her at something.
Well, yeah, we've had you on Risa Fury. And then also, you are, I think, the only guest we've had on Trumpet Tuesday.
Oh, that's awesome. I had so much fun playing with you and your dad. That was great.
Man, I've reposted the clip a couple times because it has to be one of my top five moments on Trumpet Tuesday. But when you guys did Electric Feel together.
MGMT, yeah, popping out, doing some dance moves. Yeah, it was fun.
That gives me goosebumps when I listen to it. Your harmonies, is the way you sound together. It was so good. So anyway, you guys should definitely go watch Jeremiah's episode while he's on Risa Fury and the Trumpet Tuesday that we did with my dad. That was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have a new special out.
I do.
Called Daddy.
Called Daddy.
Which I feel like you have to say in that voice.
You have to say Danny.
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 Which you have a very funny bit about. And it's also on YouTube. So many people have YouTube specials out right now. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's kind of the wave right now. It's just giving it direct to, straight to the audience without any kind of like filters or in between networks or anything. So, yeah.
It's very fun. And so we have done a few episodes in the past few months that are talking about people becoming mothers, the transition into motherhood, all of those sort of things. But we haven't talked about men becoming fathers. And so you have, how old is your son?
He's almost 2 years old.
Okay. Yeah. But your wife is pregnant again, correct?
She is, yeah. Okay. We're doing June.
Oh my gosh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, this episode's coming out at the end of May, so by the time this comes out, it'll be getting real close.
Yeah. I know, gearing up for it right now.
So tell me about what that's been like for you, what your life changes have been. I mean, obviously that's such a massive life change, but we have really been focusing lately on the transition for mothers, and I wonder what it's been like emotionally for you.
Yeah, it's a lot of, I'm good. I would say one of my strengths as a partner to my wife is I'm good at compartmentalizing, but sometimes almost to a detriment. When she was giving birth, I'm becoming a dad today. you know what I mean? Like you try to mentally prepare for it, but then it's like, it's there.
Yes.
So the weeks that follow that, I think were way more, my wife's might be a healthier way of like, it's more of a gradual thing, but I'm very in the present here and now. So let's get through this week. That's how I'm always like, let's get through this week. And then we'll worry about that. So as I've become a dad longer, I've had to rewire my brain a little bit more. So it's not so like just right here, right now, because, you have to plan for kids' futures and their like daycares and different things like that. If it was, if it was up to me, my mentality would be like, wait, he has to go to school now? He's 12?
What the fuck happened? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I've been having to it's been a good learning process for me, but I've been loving it. It's very much an adventure where it gives different purpose and meaning throughout the weeks. And when I come back home from doing the road, it's more of I've always been excited to see my wife, but there's even more excitement because there's two of them now at home. So yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty common thing for comedians to focus on the now and living life one week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think based on touring, things get so stressful. It's like it gets a little overwhelming sometimes if you are
easily
looking even beyond that week. And I think when you start in comedy as well, it's so daunting to figure out how you actually are going to make it. And at least for me, I don't know if you experienced this, but I had people really early on be like, but what about like a 401k or retirement? Like, what are you going to do? And you just have to go, I don't know yet, but I'm just going to hope it goes well enough. But
yeah, one day that 401k, that's a word I have not even considered or thought of. You know what I mean? Right. I'm just so like, hey, I'm paying my bills right now. I'm so grateful that that's mm-hmm. happening at the moment, in the present moment.
Yeah. So I can see with having kids how that's such a big gear shift to then move into like, oh shit, I have to actually plan for the future of this small human.
Yeah. Well, it's also just like with, you know, so my wife can heal properly and everything yeah. after the baby's born. We have to mentally prepare, and mentally, physically, and monetarily, you know, prepare yeah. for chunks of time where, you know, she can take off work properly and heal. And it's hard though, as a comedian to do that, because as you know, there's ebbs and flows of when we're busy. Sometimes yeah. it's like, oh great, our calendar's full, things are awesome and working, but then you'll go through what we, you know, dry spells where you're like, what's going on? Like,
right.
I don't know. Luckily, right. over the years, I think that there's hopefully, you know, knock on wood, there will be less and less dry spells. But that early on as a comic, like it's constantly.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Up and down all the time.
Yeah. What are some things that you feel like you might do differently from raising your firstborn into now you're having a second child, like especially those first weeks after delivery and all that? Are there some mm-hmm. things that now you're like, oh, OK, I learned that the first time, that now I'm going to do this differently? Is there anything like that?
There's definitely just some time management stuff mm-hmm. that I want to do differently. I kind of went crazy blinders. Like I got to work, I got to provide. I went into to the hunter gatherer. Like I'm like, I gotta do it all right now yeah. to make sure that like the baby's good, my wife's good, and they're happy and they're eating and all that
yeah.
stuff. So I kind of threw myself into work a little bit more than maybe I would have liked to on that first baby, like around the very newborn stages, where I'm trying to plan accordingly this time, like what we're talking about.
Yeah,
it kind of hit me like a truck last time, where I'm like, oh, I gotta figure out so much stuff. But this time around, I'm gonna try to appreciate really the moments and take the moments and really value them, because I think, I mean, this is going to be our last kid. So yeah. I want to value and make the most out of that time when they're little, because it is very, you've heard every parent say it, but it is very odd how quickly the time flies by. Like where you're yes. like, my son's two. It literally feels like just a few weeks ago we were delivering wow. him in the hospital.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. When they're such a different human week to week, those first couple years.
Yeah.
Even the first, I don't know, 5, 10, but I feel like, I mean, now being in our 30s, we're kind of the same for long stretches of time. But when
right.
kids are tiny, it's like, I haven't seen my niece in a few months and it kills me, because I'm like, well, I'll never get those specific months with her again. Like, she won't be that version of her ever again.
Yeah. It's hard, even the balance of going on the road. It sounds crazy to say this, but I'll literally, if I'm gone for a weekend or a long week,
yeah,
there will be jumps in development that I wasn't there for, which is yeah. which is that's hard, where you come home and he's talking way more. I'm like, he's talking more just in this last week that I Whoa. Have been gone. Like I just did. I was in Austin doing some podcasts and stuff like that. And I was gone for the week and I came back and it was like a different version of him. I'm like, this is so wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What has it been like for you with maybe a difference in how your wife has related to the baby, with the responsibilities that just naturally come from like carrying the child and giving birth and breastfeeding and all of that? Has that ever been difficult to navigate? Like, if you've felt that she has a different connection to the baby than you do?
I think that I'm okay with this because I get it. Like, I'm very much a mama's boy.
Oh, yeah.
So I understand that. I mean, every family dynamic is very different.
Yeah.
But I get that he's going to want mama at the end of the day. I mean, this is coming from a mama's boy. I'm like,
yeah.
I know dad comes second. And also, my wife spends so much more time with him. Yeah. I would honestly feel really, really guilty if he was constantly like, dad, like while I'm gone and on the road and everything. Like, when I come home, he wants me for a little bit, and then he's like, all right, mama, like back then, like I want mama now.
Yeah.
Like dad, you're cool and everything, but like we had our playtime together. I need to go back to mom.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So I'm okay with that. I don't know how other dads navigate that, but I also don't know if other dads are that comfortable and being self-aware that like I'm just a mama's boy, and like my dad knows that. We have an amazing relationship, but he knows at the end of the day, like, you know, when I come home and visit, like, I'm gonna see my mom maybe just a slight little bit more than my dad. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, that's very cool that you have that open of a relationship with your parents. It's like he kind of knows that, and there's no judgment.
Yeah, he gets it because he was a mama's boy too. I mean, he's I come from a lineage of mama's boys, I guess. Like, he would constantly go visit his mom even in her old age. Like he would spend like the mornings with her and get breakfast with her and all that stuff. Yeah. So, yeah,
that's awesome. Have you felt like, and this is a personal thing, I feel like it's very different from couple to couple, but do you feel like your relationship with your wife has changed? And if so, do you have any advice for our listeners who might also have a baby on the way or have a newborn and are trying to figure out that new dynamic in their romantic relationship?
Yeah. I've talked to other new dads about this, and then just my wife will talk to new moms about the dynamic, because it is obviously, it's a life changer. You're literally bringing not only a child in, but they're also a roommate.
Yeah,
they're living in your space.
Yeah.
You're walking into a room, even if you love them.
Yeah,
like it doesn't matter. It's still a dynamic that you have to learn and grow and figure out. You're walking into a kitchen with sometimes your roommate is opening cereal hands down and it's all over the floor and you got to figure out like, hey, that's my cereal. I bought that cereal. That's not even the kid's cereal. You're in my cereal right now, like going to town on it. So that's an odd kind of thing that, like, for me, that sometimes I have to be like, oh yeah, that's my son. I love him. That's my son.
This kid's burning through my Raisin Bran. What the fuck?
Yeah,
who are you? Yeah.
But I think a lot of, to address your question more head on, I think it, for my wife and I, the only reason why we've had a successful relationship for as long as we have, we've been together now 13 years, and we got married in 2017.
Oh, congratulations. That's incredible.
Yeah. Thank you. And without really, really communicating, we would have had so many issues. It's one of those things where I think it is definitely, it's an easier thing to advise than to really take in and do. We'd be like, yeah, you got to communicate. And people are like, yeah, I do that.
Yeah.
You're already not listening. You're already what I just said. No, I got it. You're like, no, take in the words that I'm saying.
That's so funny. Yeah.
And there's different things that when you have a new kid, it changes, obviously, your sex life because there's another person who's needing you. So my wife and I are transparent. And if we, you know, if the week is getting busy or something, we are straight up sometimes and we're like, hey, we need to have sex soon. Like we,
that's
like,
great.
Like
yeah.
We like, and it's not like a, it's not a weird thing. We're both like I'll be like, hey, like I need to do this before I go out on the road. Like, I don't want to be alone in a hotel room again, jerking off. I'd like to make love with you before I go on the road. So we try to be transparent with each other's needs, and that helps tremendously.
Yeah. Does she ever approach you the same way where she's like, listen, like I need to get some?
Yeah, no, that's what's great about it.
Yeah.
She'll literally be like, we haven't had sex in a while. I'm like, I know. Like and sometimes it's not because we both are not wanting to. We're sometimes thinking that the other person is too tired or too much is going on in their lives. Mm-hmm. But that's where the lack of communication becomes a problem in relationships.
Yes.
And that's when women start feeling like they're not sexy after pregnancy because their husband isn't approaching as much because the husband might be inside their head and be like, oh, my wife's too tired. She has too much going on. It's like, no, she might really, really want that. And she might want to feel sexy and she wants you to approach her. But sometimes as the man, you do need to take the initiative to be like, hey, like,
totally,
whenever you want, like whenever you're comfortable. I mean, it's really nothing is awkward in relationships, in my opinion, unless that person is making it awkward.
Right.
Anytime I've had quote unquote beef with somebody, I'll walk straight up to them like, hey, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm cool if you're good. Like if you're good, I'm good. So I'm not holding any, I don't know what, like if you have any preconceived notions about me or anything, but I try to get to the source immediately. So there's not wasted time and wasted emotions.
Good for you. We talked on this podcast a really long time ago about kind of the controversy around couples who schedule sex. And for some people, that's a very unromantic notion to have scheduled sex. And I think it doesn't have to be that black and white. I don't think it necessarily has to be something you write on your planner. If it is, that's totally fine. I just think that a lot of the times people get it in their head that it has to be completely non-communicated. It's like all just in somebody approaching you and like initiating. I think there's a middle ground, like you said, where it's just saying like, hey, I'm super tired tonight, but do you want to have sex tomorrow? Because I really want to have sex tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? Or like, what's your, are you feeling like you have got time later? Cause like, I really want to fuck you. You know, like you just even talking like that with your partner, I don't think that's fully, you've got like a standing appointment if that's not where you're into, but it's still just communicating with them that you're interested in that. I don't think, at least it, in my opinion, I don't think that takes away the magic. It's just trying to make sure, I think, especially being a parent, that that is still part of your relationship. I can't imagine how hard that is.
Yeah, I think the scheduling is definitely extreme. It takes a little bit of the sexiness out of hooking up because in a planner or a Google Calendar, it's like, I don't want to make it like a doctor's appointment. Like that's so weird to me.
Right.
But if you know, if my kid is sleeping, hey, we've got an hour. Let's go. Like, I'm like, okay, great. Yeah. Let's do it. That's amazing.
Yeah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So we also, you and I were texting before about that you, maybe this is correlated, that you use exercise to help with stress or vice versa. What is your process of when you have stress and handling it?
So when I can, when I'm available to do it, I still play basketball, and that's a really good way for me to release a lot of stress. If I'm on the road, I'm real bad about exercising on the road, and I know that I would probably feel better if I got out of bed and went on to the hotel gym that I never use or whatever. I'd feel better. But what I do after shows on the road is I play pool on the road, and that's a good way to just focus on something that has nothing to do with work.
Yeah.
And it's just focusing on a game that makes me feel good. I'm sure you might zen out a little bit sometimes when you play foosball a little bit.
Totally.
Right?
Nothing takes my mind off of other things going on more than foosball, actually, because it requires constant focus. It's such a fast paced game. I mean, it's hard to even blink. You miss things when you blink in foosball, because if you're playing at a really high level, it moves so fast. Yeah. And I love that about it. So yeah, I can totally see how pool is a great tool for decompressing.
Yeah. It comes down to, if you are stressed out, it's one of those things, like, it affects your game in pool. Like it forces you, because it's such a more, it's such a slower game, obviously, where you're really having to take your time and really sink in. And even with your breathing and everything, when you're going to shoot, like, your stroke is going to be affected if you're, like, all riled up and, like, you got other things on your mind, or you're thinking about other things, like, you're not going to be playing well.
Right.
And so that's nice to just put all that energy into something and be like, I can just focus on this for the time being.
Yes, it's so important. And I do think as we get older, hobbies become less and less of a priority for people.
Yeah.
It just kind of all gets funneled into people's job or
I hate the excuse, actually, when people go, well, I have kids now, or, well, like, it's like they're blaming not having certain parts of their life anymore because they have a kid. I can't stay out that late. I have a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you know that if you do stuff like that, like, unconsciously, like, that is going to affect the way you raise your kid too. Mm-hmm. If you have that attitude about that little bit of negativity because that's resentment. That's what that is. And it's like, well, then why did you have kids if that's your attitude about that? The people who, for me, it's a huge turnoff to me when people are constantly put off by their own kids. Yes. And we face that all the time in conversation with people where you ask them how they're doing. They're like, well, things are just crazy with my kids. And that's not a fun person to talk to.
Yeah.
And I never want to be that dad. And I don't want to be that husband. And I don't want to be that father, because it all permeates and bleeds into other areas of your life. Like, your relationships can feel that if you're not positive about stuff.
That's such a good point. Do you feel like now that you've had kids, are you around more adults in your life that do also have young kids? If it's just from, like, meeting people in play groups or something like that?
Yeah, I think also, like you're saying, as we're entering the, you know, the more of the mid-30s and stuff like that, it's just natural that more people are starting to have kids. It's weird, though, for comedians, it's a delayed thing. So when I had my son 2 years ago already, there were comics that were literally like, you're crazy, dude. You're having a kid at 32. You're crazy. And I'm like, in the Midwest where I'm from, I'm actually a very late to the game. Like, in other parts of the country, people start having kids like right out of high school and college and everything.
So certain, like, people were telling you that you were young to have them at 32?
Oh, comics were telling me. They're like,
oh,
you're
how
so
interesting.
Young, man.
Yeah. Oh, how interesting. Wow.
They're like, what are you doing, dude? These are the years. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, it was all guys. It was all guys, of course.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Do you feel like some of the other adults that you have in your life that have young children, do you ever get the vibe from them. You're talking about that kind of negativity or the resentment. Do you ever get the vibe from them that if they could go back in a time machine, now that they know what it's like to have kids, that they would maybe make a different decision?
Oh, possibly. Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah. We talk on the show. There are, you know, a lot of Reddit threads, particularly about mothers who are open about regretting having children, where they're like, look, I love my kid. Yeah, it is heavy. And I think there's so much shame around that, of course. But it's parents who are like, I love my child. I would do anything for them. However, if like knowing what I know now of how hard it is to be a parent, if I could go back in time, I would have picked a different path. And that's so fascinating to me. Yeah. And those are only the people who feel comfortable sharing that online. I think anonymously, I'm not sure, but I just, because I've made the decision in the last, I don't know, year or so that I won't be having kids, which is something that I just always assumed I would. And then the older you get, the more you really think about it. For me, being
and also the more you get to know yourself, the older you get.
Yeah, absolutely. You do realize what a huge, it's a life-changing commitment for the rest of your life. And so for me, I just realized that that wasn't the right path for me. But I do think it's interesting that once people have them, that for some people, it's like, oh shit, I had no idea how hard this was going to be.
Yeah, I think I'm honestly on the other end of that spectrum. I was very apprehensive to have kids. To the point where to the point where my wife and I were together for a long time, and I brought that up, and that, like, I'm like, I don't know if I got to a point where I was like, I don't know if I want kids.
Yeah.
And it was something that was like, it was almost detrimental to our relationship, because it was like, she's like, I've always told you very early on, and you've always been open to the idea. And I was kind of having a comedian crisis where I'm like, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah, of course. That's completely understandable.
Yeah. And we went to couples counseling about it. And I kind of got out all my fears and everything. Yeah. And a lot of it came down to when I started talking about it, I was like, I felt like I was going to get lost in the mix. Like, I felt like I was going to be like kind of pushed out, where I'm just like the dad at the edge of the picture that's just waving.
Just flipping burgers.
Hey, that's my family over there. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
I got burgers if they want them. They told me they already ate, but I just thought I'd make them anyway.
You know, they said that they wanted burgers and then they went to McDonald's. It's fine. I'm just going to be over here grilling.
Yeah, a Walter White before, you know, Breaking Bad, just kind of like a non-main character in his own life. Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's been a huge, for me, it's been the opposite, actually, where I went in apprehensive, and now I'm super grateful that we are having kids, because it's nice for me, because I am so with the stand-up comedian path, we have to talk about ourselves and focus on ourselves so much. And I do a lot of projects where I sometimes spread myself a little bit too thin. It's really nice to put that into somebody that you love, like a kid. So for me, I think it would have been one of the opposite Reddit threads for me, where I'm like, she was the one that got away. She wanted to have a kid, and I said no. And then, went out and I tried to do the single life, and it felt empty. And
Wow, that's really cool. I have also heard that. I have some people in my life who have had kids and then go, and even mothers who often I think are the ones that are like, this is too much for me. This is too much responsibility. Yeah. I have mothers in my life who are like, it's actually easier than I thought it was going to be. And then I have also other mothers in my life that are like, we're only having one kid, because I had no idea that this was going to be as insane as it is. So,
yeah.
Tell me about the process of shooting your special.
Yeah, we shot it at Comedy on State in Madison, Wisconsin.
Amazing.
Love that club.
Amazing.
Yeah. And we were shooting a couple shows that night on the Saturday, and mm-hmm. we got, I want to say, about 53 out of the 57 minutes all from one show. Like one show just went, the early show just like, when I walked off, I'm like, I think we got it. And then we literally traded yeah. out one bit that went a little bit better on the late show to put in there. And
incredible.
It was a good mix of what I do. I did material with some sprinkling of riffing and crowd work kind of throughout. Like if somebody goes to see me headline, this special is a really good representation of kind of what I do in the room. Nice. I kind of go in and out of material and find different pockets to riff and do crowd work and stuff like that. And I want to say probably 45 to 47 is solid material, and then the rest is like riffing and crowd work. So
fun. That's yeah. really cool. You have an amazing show that's also on YouTube called Stand Up on the Spot,
which you've done.
I have done. I did it in Austin at the Moon Tower Festival, and it's such a blast. It really is like you don't know what is going to happen. It's a completely different show every time because you're building material in the moment just based off of the crowd suggestion.
Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy. It's a good time. And the show
you shared
is
some
so...
pretty epic stories that triggered some suggestions, triggered some stuff.
Yes.
You shared like this awesome pad story.
Yes. I have you to thank for bringing that out in my mind, because now I actually do that on stage. I've like built it out to be this whole bit, and it's so fun. So it's part of my hour I'm doing right now, touring. Oh,
that makes me so happy. That to me, yeah. that's my favorite thing about the show, is when comics walk away and they dial in bits from Stand Up on the Spot, and then all of a sudden I'm seeing it in a special. I'm like, that's the highest compliment to the show. That's
wow.
great.
Oh yes. Yeah. It's, I mean, it will be in my next special. So it's so cool what you do. I really love that show, and people definitely need to go check it out. It's so well produced. It's like beautifully shot. And
thank you. Fantastic. We work hard to make it look and sound good. We're trying to, you know, make it its own thing. Like its own, you know, anything like a Netflix or a Comedy Central, like they used to do like those showcase comedians back in the day. And they mm-hmm. still do, but we're trying to do kind of our own version of that.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys should go check it out. The one I did, is like a sneak peek of what the bit is now on, that I'm doing on tour. But yeah, basically the first time I got a period, I had to wear a pad, because that's what they tell you when you're young, is like the first time you get one to wear a pad, not a tampon. And it was my middle school's graduation trip to the lake, and nobody told me that you can't get into the water with a pad on. And I jumped in and it started dragging me to the bottom of the lake. So that's a little bit of the story. But yeah, anyway, it was such a fun show to do. And we usually, so I'm going to do this in reverse. We usually open by asking the guest what their favorite or least favorite quote is. But I always do this when I have a guest on. I forget until the end. So I'm going to ask you now what your favorite quote is.
My favorite quote is from Del Close, and it is, follow the fear.
Ooh, I love that. That's so good. Yeah. Is he Improv Olympics?
Yeah, he's like one of the OG improv guys. But yeah, IO in Chicago.
Yeah. And, amazing.
Yeah, that I try to apply that not only to my comedy all the time, but also in life. Yeah. Things that make you uncomfortable, diving right into it.
Yeah, it's such a good roadmap for things that you should be doing to push yourself out of your comfort zone, is when you're afraid to do something to do it. And God, I can't think of a more applicable quote, especially for improv and for stand up on the spot, frankly, because I'm a comic who's I'm very much like a writer. I like to go up with my material pretty much fully written out.
And but I do, your like, special is great, by the way.
Oh.
The amount of callbacks and everything that you have, it really showcases you well, like not just performance wise, but as a joke writer. Like I was watching it and I was really impressed. Like just as your peer and friend, like I was like, this is cool.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me, truly. Thank you. Yeah, so, and I'll do, you know, crowd work here and there, but your show is something that makes me very nervous when I do it, because it's, I mean, you go up with literally nothing.
Nothing.
Which for somebody like me is that's a big fear, is to have nothing that you can reach for.
And yeah, nothing to rely on.
Nothing
no closer,
to rely on.
No, nothing to dig you out if something's not going well.
Yeah. I mean, that's very terrifying, but I like doing it because it does. A, once you get off stage, you're like, okay, no matter how that went, at least I did it and conquered that fear of the day. But the, like you said, to have material come from it and become a big written joke, it that's the greatest.
Yeah.
So
big payoff for it. Yeah, we'll have to get you back on at the Comedy Store since you haven't done it there. You did like a, you know, the version on the road. So
it'll be
have to have you at home base at the store sometime.
Yeah, the one of the festival also we had the woman who kept shouting, what was it, double
mastectomy
over and over until I was like, okay, like what, so what's going on? And then she flashed me.
Yeah, she stood up and showed her chest scars and it was like, oh wow, this is happening.
Yeah, it was insane. So it's a perfect example of your show where it's like you cannot plan for anything.
Yeah,
I think I was saying double mastectomy as well, like a vasectomy. I was like mispronouncing it on stage.
And she's so, like, no, mastectomy.
That's great. That was a bright moment for me. But anyway, okay, so please plug everything. Please plug where people can watch the special, stand-ups on the spot, where people can find you on the road, all that stuff.
Yeah, check out my one-hour special. It's called Daddy. Just type in Jeremiah Watkins Daddy on YouTube or Jeremiah Watkins one-hour special. It's very easy to find. Stand-up on the spot comes out every other Monday on our YouTube channel, and then every Friday, Scissor Bros, for all you scissor siblings out there, they're listening.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm a fun fall on socials at Jeremiah Standup, and tour dates are at jeremiahwatkins.com. So it's all out there if you want to do the deep dive.
Amazing. You guys, please go follow Jeremiah. He's so fucking funny and truly one of the hardest working people I know. I love seeing all the different things you're doing. It's very impressive.
Thank you.
All right. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Jeremiah. He's just the best. He's so sweet, so funny. Please go watch his special Daddy on YouTube. And we have an iTunes review of the episode. This is from JAPC. They say, awesome. I literally just found you this afternoon because all of my other fave true crime podcasters seem to be taking a co-vacation. So I'm glad I did. You had me at the mole. I was in my pool working out and had to stop because I couldn't catch my breath. Hilarious. Just FYI, I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner with 30 plus years of experience in private practice. I also prescribe medications. So if you ladies ever have questions or need expertise, I'm here for you. Oh yeah, I also have depression, anxiety, and ADHD, lol. Can't wait to binge listen while walking my 3-year-old golden retriever, Harley. Poor guy, length of his walk is generally dependent on if there are new episodes of my favorite podcast. Now I have you. Hopefully added bonus equals weight loss. I will tell all of my podcast lover friends and patients about your show. Love you, ladies. You made my day. Oh my gosh. What an incredibly kind iTunes review. Thank you so much. That's also so nice that you left a review today, like the day you found us. You are already an absolute all-star of a listener. We cannot thank you enough for taking the time to leave us such a sweet review. If you guys want to follow in their footsteps, please head to iTunes. You just can click that fifth star and then leave, you know, even if it's just a sentence or a few cookie emojis. You guys know we love our cookie emojis. Anything you can to help boost the show on iTunes. It really, really helps us a lot. So, you know, I think that is going to do it for this week's episode. To be honest, full disclosure, I just got into a car accident before we started recording today. I got rear-ended sitting at a stoplight. So my back is not feeling great. I think I'm okay overall. I'm just still a little bit in shock. And I'm going to have to go call my insurance now, try to get that all figured out. But anyway, that's my segment is getting rear-ended. I've never had that happen before. And fuck, it's so horrible and jarring. I'm going to go get that stuff figured out. But I hope that you all have a wonderful week, and we will talk to you guys next week. All right, go watch The Hustler on YouTube if you haven't yet. Bye, guys. We love you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Self Helpless podcast. You can find our Patreon community, merch, and our individual work at selfhelplesspodcast.com. We'd be thrilled if you shared this episode with a friend, or feel free to post it on Instagram and tag at Self Helpless Podcast so we can repost you and say thank you.